Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins, and we'll be playing great fun selection of video game music, including one bit of music from a game that's made by Irish. Yes, have a listen and hope you enjoy. Okay, so a while ago I was at a game jam. If I've explained it to you before, allow me to explain it again. It's basically when a large group of people get together for a short period of time. Maybe they work in groups or maybe they work separately. And the idea is to make a video game in a very short space of time. Sometimes it's 12 hours, sometimes it's 48. Sometimes it can actually be even longer, such as a week or a month. But I kind of prefer the ones where you get to go in and actually get to meet people. And the idea is you're all stuck in here until like games are made, like some sort of like demented thriller movie. But the key thing is that it's fun to actually make games. And indeed, it's if you look back on the archives of BitNote, you'll see me reporting on one such game event, Gamecraft, from quite a while back. But at one of such event, I met this guy called Colm Larkin, and we chatted, and I ended up following him on Twitter, and I noticed a game that he was making for some time. So the months passed, and I kind of noticed how he was building, and he was talking a bit about that. But he kept going, and then I suddenly noticed that he was actually showing them off at events, such as the IDIG Music Festival, and telling more and more people about it. And just recently, very recently, the game was actually released, and the great part is that it's been a success. The game is called... Well, I'll tell you what, why don't I let the actual main theme song explain. Have a listen and hope you enjoy.
This is the Guild of Dungeoneering, on a quest we're never veering, or to be a dungeoneer, swimming in pools of gold. This is the Guild of Dungeoneering, all the monsters keep appearing, oh, to be a dungeoneer, whose stories will be told. What's that sound I hear? Noise? Something's coming, girls and boys, run for the hills and far away. For the Guild of Dungeoneering, curse and swear, but don't despair, the way out of here must be over there. I think we're lost, but what do we care? The Guild of Dungeoneering.
So, in case you somehow didn't catch it from this song, that is the Guild of Dungeoneering, which is also the name of the game itself. If you found the theme familiar, it's actually based on an old traditional Irish folk tune called Follow Me Up to Carlow. And indeed, it's got a very nice jaunty rhythm to it and everything. The main music person was Steve Gregan, and he also worked with Frankie Lane, Jason Carroll, and Barry Keatley for that song. So, Guild of Dungeoneering, what is it about? Well, two very interesting aspects to it. You're exploring a dungeon, but the interesting thing is there's a card-based mechanic to it, where you lay down cards, you draw cards, and that deals with combat and building. And the other thing is that except for combat, you don't control the main character. You don't control your, as the game calls them, a dungeoneer, as they explore this dungeon and try to find treasure and anything. Instead, what you control is the dungeon itself. You actually build the dungeon by drawing a bunch of cards, choosing one from your available options to how to build the dungeon, and you place down like the corridors and gold, of course, because you want your adventure or dungeoneer to have lots of gold, and also the enemies. Now, putting down enemies seems a bit counterproductive. You want your adventure to get as much gold and get through the whole thing as fast as possible, right? Well, of course, like every other sort of like RPG-styled games, the more your character fights, the more experience they build up. Unfortunately, they can't carry that experience between dungeons, but regardless, you have to lay down enemies strategically enough that are hard enough that they'll get a good enough experience from it, and easy enough so that, you know, they won't actually completely get defeated. So you've got to basically lay out a bunch of enemies of gradually increasing difficulty to gradually build up your character so they'll finally be able to fight the enemies that are actually in the dungeon by default. Not everything is, there are some definite things. So I kind of put you in the role of a parent, actually, I noticed. You want to throw obstacles at your children to help them, well, not throw obstacles, but ensure that they're unshielded from obstacles so they'll grow and they'll build up. And just like putting enemies in the track so they can build an experience and be more ready for the obstacles that you won't have any control over. So, yeah, you're kind of being like the parent. You've got to challenge them, but not too much that they end up dying. Yeah. The music is nice. It's very jaunty. And of course, there's the character of the Bard, which I believe is voiced by Frankie Lane. The Bard is a guy who sings a lot of ditties, just like the one you've just heard. And indeed, it's not just a case of that very nice, you know, intro theme that plays as soon as the menu starts up, but he also plays that tune, for instance, or different types of tunes. For instance, when you unlock a new type of Dungeoneer, you've got very different types of Dungeoneers. You've got like you've got a strong, tough one who speaks with a Chav accent. Yeah, you know, in it all around the place. You've got the Cat Burglar, and the Cat Burglar will speak in a bunch of, like, cat puns, you know, saying, this looks perfect, and stuff. And there's also a bunch of other ones called, like, Artificer and Mathemagician. And I also liked, you know, the Card Player one. I think it was called Cardomancy or something, where the entire gameplay revolved around manipulating the deck to get as many cards in your hands, and then playing this card that would inflict damage on your enemy for every single card in your hand. It's like I was like playing a villain from Yu-Gi-Oh! Or something, where he is building up all this sort of stuff. But the point is, you get a bunch of different players. They've all got slight different playstyles in terms of what cards they have available at the start of each round, what they can do, what their powers is, and you've basically got to help them get through the dungeons, achieve their objectives, and defeat the things and get on to the next level. And it's kind of fun like that. The music, as I said, is pretty neat. And like I said, it plays not only when you unlock new Dungeoneers, but also when you die. Sometimes, given that you die a lot, some of the tunes do start to repeat themselves. But at the same time, just having someone talk about how your epic quest turned into an epic fail is kind of... Yeah, it's like, okay, it kind of helps sinks in that this has been tragic and your reckless use of your Dungeoneer has caused their premature death. Of course, as soon as one Dungeoneer dies, another one quickly joins the guild, so you can be the callous person and pretend nothing's happened and keep moving on. Unless, of course, you decide to visit the graveyard, but that's another thing. Why don't I play another track from this? I am really bad at seeing into next tracks. But there are actually quite a few atmospheric ambient tracks to this game, and some of them have more ramped up versions for when you're in battle. But there was one track I actually really did like, and every time this track came on, I listened to it, and I thought, I like this track, and I kind of soaked in the atmosphere. Fortunately, the game has this little playlist thing at the top, so anytime a new song plays, you get to see it pop up there, so you can recognize it for when you buy the soundtrack. Although, apparently, the soundtrack only seems to be available on Steam at the moment, which is kind of annoying, although I think also on Good Old Games if you buy the game there. So, you know, it'd be nice just to have it, like, buy the soundtrack independently. But, there you go. Without further ado, here is Destiny. It is from the game Guild of Dungeoneering, which was developed by Gambrinus. The composer and charge is Steve Gregan. So, have a listen and hope you enjoy. I think this is a very atmospheric, mellow one, and I like it.
Thank you.
That was Destiny from Guild of Dungeoneering by Gambrinus, and it was composed by Steve Gregan. So, as I've said, Guild of Dungeoneering, it's available on PC right now. I believe it's going to be coming to more platforms. Anytime a game can be played on the PC with a mouse and you don't have to right-click at any point in the game, you can safely bet that at least the developers are thinking, or at least there's a good chance it'll end up on a mobile platform at some stage. So we'll see how that goes. But I do think that in general, PC gaming always tends to be more accepting of indies because it's easier to work around a network and find groups of people interested in your games and more committed gamers. But we'll see how that goes anyway. Okay, so that was Guild of Dungeoneering. Congrats to Colm Larkin and everyone at Gambrinus for, showing, because this has been one of the biggest Irish games most in recent history. So it's great to see Irish games pushing forward. Speaking of Irish games, just yesterday I was at the Imirt AGM. Imirt is a group. It was actually elected by its members, and it's basically a group trusted to try to help improve and elevate Irish game developers. Now, in the past, there have been various different groups and such. We had IDGA, which is an international thing, but they had a group here in Ireland, and I can never quite figure out what they did. I'll assume they did something good for someone, but it was never quite apparent what their deal is. And I think they were dealing more with major companies that were in Ireland rather than the actual indies. There have also been GameDevelopers.ie, which has had many meetups over the years, which has been headed by Africa, and they've done a lot of help to the thing. And even recently, there have been a lot of little more ad hoc meetups. There's a thing called Tabludo, where Irish game developers get together and show their games to each other. It's been happening on a kind of a monthly basis. That's Tabludo, and it's been pretty cool to like drop by and, you know, if you've got a game, to show it off to other people, but also to play other people's games. And everyone gets feedback, and everyone gets to play games, and everyone has to keep on top of what's going on in the Irish game development scene, and it's all pretty cool. But with Imirt, it looks pretty cool. There is a video up online which they made that shows clips of various different Irish games that have been developed for the last while. They definitely really seem to be pointing out about how things are moving forward with the Irish gaming industry, about especially independent developers, and it gives you opportunities to chat with other people and network a bit. Well, network sounds a bit corporate, but you get to talk with other people, and it's kind of important because game development is an incredibly collaborative process. I mean, I kind of went against the grain. I tried to develop a game just completely on my own. And of course, not completely, because I was actually commissioning people. But even so, there's no doubt that just having other people involved who have a stake, who you're working with, who you basically... it's like anything in life. It's easier if there are people with you and working with you. And of course, they've got to get something out of it as well. I heard a bit of a sad story actually about I'm not going to name any names because of course, but essentially one artist worked with a studio when they developed a game, and like just before release the artist pulled out of the things pointing at the contract and just said, okay, I'm not actually allowing your art or anything or even promote the game, and the game just ended like that. And apparently the artist then wanted to still release the game using the engine that their developer they had released with, and I don't know, it just sounds like complete egotism. Some people just can't stand the idea that other people, that what they created was helped by other people. They can't stand the idea that other people have helped create what they made, or that other people are in the bros. They just have to say that they've created everything themselves. And as someone who's had a bit of that in the past, there's always going to be a bit of that, and a bit of pride and ego can always help a little. But the truth is, if you can create a lot of stuff on your own, then think of what greater stuff you can create working with others and collaborating and trading off skills and benefiting each other. And that's my view on it. So, putting aside the topic of Irish game development and everything, why don't we finish up with talking about another fun game that actually was released and then taken off and released recently. And this is completely different from what we had before, before I was talking about Irish independent games and original IP and all that sort of stuff as they go. This is a game based on a comic book, specifically Deadpool. Now, if you're familiar at all with Deadpool, you'll know he's a comic book character. You may be aware that he's got a movie coming out. You may be aware that certain websites and online people seem to love Deadpool with an almost crazy level of love. But the point is, his entire shtick is that basically he came onto the scene kind of like as a more standard anti-hero, you know, a guy who was kind of a hero but still a lot of brutal things, so his general ego thing. But at one point he goes completely insane, and then he kind of gets fun because he goes insane in a way that lets him basically realize he's in a comic book. So he basically is able to address the audience or recognize that he's in a comic book and everything. But of course, to everyone in the comic book, he's just completely insane. And so it's kind of a weird thing of being insane helps him tell the truth. But being insane also helps him to be utterly, utterly hilarious. And he'll tend to make pop culture references, completely misinterpret the situation, and just kind of subvert a lot of the whole thing that he's going for. Now, I haven't read a huge amount of Deadpool comics or anything. I read a few here and there, and he can just be funny because he's just hilarious. It gives any writer who's doing Deadpool the opportunity to just cut loose and just throw whatever's on their mind and throw out a whole lot of crazy stuff, and basically let every other character in the entire universe be the straight man to Deadpool's completely crazy shenanigans. And indeed, that kind of sums up the game. It starts with Deadpool contacting High Moon about his video game, but of course High Moon aren't interested in making a video game based on him, so he just triggers a detonator that blasts a huge amount of explosives in their building, so that the guy of High Moon phones back and says, okay, let's make this. Meanwhile, he also gets phone calls from Nolan North, who is a very well-known video game voice actor, complaining about how Deadpool keeps trying to talk him into being in a game together. And of course, if you haven't figured out by this stage, the actual video game Deadpool is developed by High Moon Studios, and the actual voice actor of Deadpool is Nolan North. So it's very much meta, self-aware stuff, but it's also got a lot of crazy stuff. For instance, you know, in the start of the game, you can just decide, instead of answering the door, to bake a gigantic amount of pancakes. And even though I haven't followed the comics a lot, there's clearly a huge amount of referencing to the comics, to the characters that pop up in the comics, and the various aspects of that. So it's actually kind of interesting, because most of the time when I play a video game superhero, it's kind of it might be a little based on the comics, but it's also, you know, based on movies or something. But it's very, very clear when I play this. The people making this game really knew what the comics were about, and there's tons of references to the comics, most of which I completely didn't get because I don't really read the comics that much, or have read a bit, but you know, the series has been going for years. I don't follow American superhero comics that much. I just, whenever I can find an omnibus or an edition, I just skim through it and have a little bit of fun that way. So it's a fun game, and the combat is pretty smooth. I tried playing it on the PC with the keyboard and mouse. That did not work out. I finally plugged in an Xbox 360 USB gamepad into it, and that worked so much better. And the combat is pretty smooth. The storyline is kind of funny, although it's kind of completely weird. We get an insight into Deadpool's demented, crazy mind, which means that half the time, sometimes we're not even sure if what we're seeing is kind of real. The only thing that kind of spoils is that some of the backgrounds and stuff seem a little, they look like they're taken from some other games, and they're gloomy and dark, and we start in a sewer level, and I think the environments could just, you know, match Deadpool a bit more. I'm not saying they have to be completely goofy, but just, you know, slightly less gloomy and stuff, and I think would have helped, but how well. So, Deadpool is a fun game. It's available on PC on Steam, although be careful because it was taken down at one stage and then put back up. You've got to be very careful about it. I plan to talk a bit more about how games can go missing. Also, it was also published on the consoles, although I think they stopped distributing them, so it's kind of a tricky game, but just be careful and you might be able to get it. With that, I'll leave you to the main music theme of Deadpool. As I said, it was developed by High Moon Studios. The music was by Julian Soule, who has made music on everything from Spy Fox to Harry Potter video games to Dead Rising. And incidentally, he's the brother of Jeremy Soule, who's made music for a lot of other things called Guild Wars and Morrowind. And I believe they've collaborated on something, sometimes with one of them not even being credited. So did Jeremy Soule was involved in the soundtrack? I don't know. But the point is, it's Julian's in the credits, so that's, yeah. All right, I'll leave you with Deadpool main menu theme by Julian Soule. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of BitNote. I hope you've listened to some good music and had some fun learning about the Irish game development scene. As I said, you can follow BitNote FM on Twitter, and you can also go to bitnotefm.com for past episodes, or at least look it to your local and appreciated video podcasting service. I've been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.
Let's see. Just put tab A into slot F, and then plug that into the... This was a toy model. How does a toy model explode?